All right, I got my my yearly stats pulled up here. How many movies do you think I watched in 2024, Ty?
There's 365 days in a year. You definitely watch more movies than days per year. I'm gonna say 512.
Actually, pretty close. 447 for
Ooh.
me, which equates to 762 hours, just about almost 31 full days.
Jeez. Honestly, rookie numbers for you. Do you think you can break five next year?
That's the goal, man. That's the goal. My top theme, 134 films I watched this year were in the horror, the undead, and monster classics category. I wonder what sort of Frankenstein project might have bumped that up a little bit. Impressed by me, 60% almost of my watches this year were new watches instead of rewatches, which is like hugely above any numbers that I've had in the past.
That's
Funny enough,
Criterion
though,
Challenge or what?
probably Criterion Challenge, all the Frankenstein movies, and I just found myself venturing to some new stuff this year, more than in years past. I don't know. I felt like exploring a little bit more. My most watched actor, though, is the voice of Fred from the Scooby-Doo movies.
How'd that happen?
Dude, I watched a lot of Scooby-Doo. Most watched director, Dario Argento, been slowly working through his filmography. And I've got a pretty solid world map here. Most of Europe's crossed off the list. Some in Australia, a couple Indian films, a couple Iranian. Feel like I did, I think I did a good job this year.
Do you think I can do this?
No.
How many movies do you think I watch this year?
75.
It's probably less than that. I'm gonna say 59.
Wow.
Like
You had a
I
couple
met
weeks in
my.
there where you watched one and more than one.
It was definitely the Harry Potter series that really boosted those numbers up a bit.
Hey, our summer blockbuster challenge, I think, I also contributed to the like more new watches. I hadn't seen like Tangled, a couple of those.
Well, we'll just have to keep tapping in more swaps.
I can't wait. Hi everyone, and welcome back to the Blast Podcast, a show where we believe movies can be more than just movies. I'm your host, Steve Watts, joined as always by my co-host. And today we bring you my favorite episode of every year, the Blast Awards. We have been cooking this one for quite a while. A couple of cases of COVID have held us back from recording this, and we are so excited to finally be able to bring this to you guys. Let's just jump right in after a word from our sponsor.
Hey everyone, Heath Ledger here. I'm happy to announce that the next version of the Blast Movie app is officially in development. Expect a big overhaul of everything theater related. We have some big collaborations coming up in 2025 that we are so excited to tell you about when the time is right. Until then, thank you for all your constant support and stay tuned.
Okay, we're not interested in this award show BS where we saved the best movies for last year. We're just flying through with our favorite awards to talk about. And so I think we're going to kick this off with my top Blast movie of the year, the nominees. We have five nominees for every category this year. For this one, we have Heretic, Twisters, Civil War, Y2K, and We Live in Time. All these movies, on a movie grade perspective, received an A minus or higher for me, but all of them were a blast grade of A plus. A couple of really good theater experiences in here. Y2K was the most fun I've had in a theater in a while. Twisters was a blast to get back to Hollywood Palms with a good friend of mine. But the winner of my favorite blast. The winner of my top Blast movie of the year has to be Heretic. This is a movie I've been waiting for probably 4 years now. Not in the sense that I've been following the production, but in the sense that I've been waiting for a movie that is scary and mostly just people talking about ideas that are scary. And it really landed for me.
Yeah, Heretic was an honorable mention for blast movie of the year. When I was putting my list together, I was like strictly looking at blast grade, like favorite theater experiences with a movie. My nominees: Twisters, Smile 2, A Quiet Place Day 1, Challengers, and Dune Part 2. Two of these movies stand above the rest from like a movie grade perspective, but all of these were great theater experiences. But if I'm going blast movie of the year, best theater experience of the year, I think I gotta go Challengers. This was a movie that had a different type of energy and flow to it. I remember being at the edge of my seat the entire time. Dune Part 2 came close, but nothing quite made me feel as special as Challengers did.
So if we're talking top theater experience of the year, I can't believe that two movies that we saw together didn't make your list. One of those was Wildcat, a very, very memorable night. But the other one was In a Violent Nature, simply because of the ice cream cone incident of 2024.
Mr. Cone. That's what Mr. Cone is. Dude, I could not remember that.
Oh, man. How could you forget?
maybe because all I can think about In a Violent Nature is the gnarly kills. No way that could be my blast movie of the year, dude.
Fair.
Do you think Companion next week is going to be the best movie we've seen together on the big screen?
I'm nervous because it's a January release, but I sure hope so. What is the best movie we've seen together so far? Halloween Ends?
I honestly think I'd go Wildcat.
It might be. Quiet Place Day 1 was fun, at least.
Yeah, that was a really fun theater experience. Like, in a day of people always on their phones, always talking at the theater, it was kind of nice to have everyone locked in. I mean, we saw that in GDX, too. There's a lot of people. And, I don't know, Quiet Place kind of calls for that.
Hey, Longlegs. Longlegs was another good one. We got to see a pretty good amount of movies together this year. I feel like we usually don't.
Longlegs was probably the best movie we've seen together. It's got to be.
Not Last Voyage of the Demeter.
The pod that started it all off.
It's still our top pod. Top performing pod of all time. This is the worst movie ever. Hardest laugh of the pod. This is a new award. And the winner will be getting naming rights. The nominees for this one are The Rock Talks in Third Person. Our discussion of Big Nut and Little Nut after Y2K. Ty comparing Kevin Bacon's run in Maxine to my own. Zachary Jewell's flood of blast tickets, like 100 some, I think. And the Mia Goth ball squash from Maxine.
Oh my god. I don't know, dude. The Mia Goth ball squash has been a running gag for months. If it doesn't win the award, I don't know what will.
Yeah, it has to. The question is, will the award be named just Ball Squash Hardest Laugh of the Pod or Mia Goth Ball Squash Hardest Laugh of the Pod?
I think Mia Goth Ball Squash has a nice ring to it.
Cool. Yeah. Great. This has been a good year of pods, man. There have been a lot of great laughs, though.
Yeah, we got Mr. Jokester running the pod. It's been great.
Hell yeah. And speaking of Mr. Jokester, we're going to have our editor hopefully splice in the audio for this. But the best intro of the year, for those of you who haven't caught it, because I have talked to a couple of my friends about this and they had no idea that this has been going on, I introduced Ty as something different every week on this pod. It's been going on for, I think, like probably 70 or so weeks now where I've been doing this bit.
Yeah.
And we have narrowed it down to our top five here. Certified Lover Boy, Certified Cinephile is an all-time classic. Horny, Simple, perfect. Hagrid's balls. Albert from Messiah of Evil. And Rory, and I'm talking Beetlejuice 2, not Gilmore Girls.
God.
Ty, I think I need to let you choose this one since you're the one getting intro'd.
I just want to say that for everyone saying, you know, I'm big bad boss or whatever around the left, you are a fucking bully. I do with these intros every week, and I don't think there's ever been one nice one. I just get grilled every week. With that said, my favorite that I laugh at the most is Albert from Messiah of Evil. If you haven't seen that movie, look up Albert and give yourself a nice chuckle.
That is, I think, my best impression on the pod I've ever done, too.
I think that's what made it great. I thought Hagrid's balls was another awesome one, but we've already given an award to balls right before this, so I'm leaning Albert.
All right, this award also had naming rights up to grab, so next year we will be doing the Albert Best Intro of the Year.
Are you impersonating?
I hope to be. That is legitimately, though, for our listeners here, that is my favorite part of every pod, is just thinking of what way I can piss Ty off before we even start recording.
I'll go into a movie and the first despicable character that pops up, I'm like, oh, great. Great. Chris Hemsworth, Furiosa.
Yep, exactly. I'm always on the prowl for those. And I'd love to get a compilation of all of them. Unfortunately, we had them archived after, I think it was 20 pods ago. So we had quite a collection, but I mean, I'll go through the Google Docs and pull up some more at some point. These are a blast.
We'll make sure we have all 52 for this year.
Hell yeah. So one of the things we love to do at Blast is not just talk about the new movies. As you can see, I mean, we're talking about Messiah of Evil, like a B-movie from the 70s. And so I like to throw in this award our best old movie that we've discovered for the first time this year or just watched for the first time. And this was a good year for me. I have my top five here, but it was pretty hard to narrow it down. One of them was Two Evil Eyes, which is a two-part, two-hour-long movie, half-directed by half by Romero and half by Argento, and they adapt two different Edgar Allan Poe stories. Awesome story. Ghost Dog, The Way of the Samurai, also on here, and we did a great pod on that one. It's one of my favorites that we've recorded. Spirit of the Beehive is the highlight of the Frankenstein watches for me. And Dazed and Confused as well. Very, very good Richard Linklater film. And rounding it out with Yee-Yee from 2020. And even though I had trouble deciding on this top five, the number one was super easy for me. My best movie that I discovered from the past this year was Yee-Yee. It was part of my Criterion Challenge with Boone, and it is one of the few that I didn't like hate myself watching through. It is one of the most heartbreaking movies I've ever seen in my life, but also one that just has so much to say and says it in such a beautiful way with so much style. Ty, I really hope we can do a movie swap on that one sometime next year.
Yeah, I've honestly been waiting for the day that you hand me a list of like the best Criterion from your challenge. I mean, I like those movies. I just need them cherry picked. I don't want to deal with the slow burns.
Yeah, no bitter rice.
Please no. Please no. My list and my nominees are way different than yours because I'm a little late to the game on some of these big franchises. As you and maybe some of the listeners know, on TikTok, I've been doing these mini series of franchises I've never seen and going through each movie. So a couple old movies that I caught, I think just I need to be lumping them up into series. But Harry Potter, can't believe it, but I just watched Harry Potter for the first time. Lord of the Rings, I watched the original trilogy, not the Hobbit trilogy. I've watched How to Train Your Dragon 1 and 2, both fantastic. And a recommendation from you, the original Speak No Evil. Thank God I saw that before the new one, the American version. No good. And then fifth, finally, and my winner is Vision Quest. Brother, you know better than anyone. This is in the Blast Movies Hall of Fame for a reason. There is something special about this. It's kind of like been our mantra since we've seen it about launching this app. It's been my favorite music to listen to all year. Kind of changed my tune and perspective on things. Just push me along the path, keeps me motivated. I love Loudon, 168, Pin and Shoot. It's just movie magic.
So I mentioned earlier that I did the Criterion Challenge, not by myself, but with my good friend Ryan Boone. And he also, like you, has not seen a ton of just like classic movies that I can't believe. And he asked me to put together a specified for him Ryan Boone challenge. And I have put together 52 weeks of movies for him. The very first week, I had to start him off on the year right with Vision Quest.
Dude, he's going to be dialed in on the rest of the movies now. Like, after he sees Vision Quest, he's going to tune into the next one. This is his new Vision Quest.
Hey, I'll tell you what. My challenge is a lot fucking easier than the Criterion Challenge. There's
some great movies on there.
Hey, yeah, Point Break, you know.
not Waves. In my top 10, by the way. In my top 10. Not easy to watch.
It's going to be a tough one. let's move on to the 12 Angry Men Best Movie Award. This is probably going to be the most hotly contested award of the night, I would assume. We have 6 nominees for this one. We couldn't narrow it down to 5, but the Academy's up to like 15 at this point, so I don't feel too bad about it. Civil War, Dune Part 2, We Live in Time, Long Legs, Furiosa, and Challengers. Ty, talk me through your pick here. What do you want this Best Movie Award to go to?
Well, I mean, if it was up to me, and we're just going off my list, Challengers was the best movie I saw all year, and I'll stand by it. I love that movie. Double A blast movie grade. But I think the correct pick, and it's going to be tough to battle because you didn't really like this movie, Dune Part 2, everyone's arguably favorite movie of the year. I think this should be standard. It deserves the recognition at the Oscars. It's not going to get it. I think it should get it here at the Blast Awards.
I would rather have Challengers win than Dune Part 2. And I didn't not like Dune Part 2. Dune Part 2, I gave an 8 out of 10. That is a very good movie. It's just not something that blew my mind necessarily. I also gave Challengers an 8 out of 10.
Okay, go back to the Dune Part 2 pod. I don't think you gave that movie one compliment.
Okay, that is because, let me explain my philosophy here on Dune Part 2. So, I watched Dune Part 1 when it came out in theaters, and I was blown away. I think that just the look of everything in the Dune universe, one of the things that Denis Villeneuve does amazingly in general is just the scale of everything he shoots. And this extends to Blade Runner 2049. It's one of the things that makes that movie so good, I think, is that everything feels massive. Like you get a real sense of how big this world is. And I loved how Dune 1 did that and how it made everything feel so big and so grand, and it set up these characters in such a fascinating way. And I think Dune Part 2 did the same thing with the scale, which was still cool, and part of the reason why I love Villeneuve as a director is that, but why I like Dune Part 2 is that everything is gorgeous. But the the storyline and the lack of conclusion felt a little distasteful for me, and I was hoping for Dune Part 2 to be the last Dune. I don't want to sit down and watch 9 hours of Dune. And that is why Dune Part 2 takes a slight hit from me.
Well, then make a case for something. Or just give me Challengers.
My case is for Civil War. I think that this was a movie that I will probably always remember seeing in theaters for the first time. I don't know if a movie has ever had such a force behind gunshots for me. Like, every single shot in this movie feels like a jump scare. I also think that the decision to use the photography throughout to help tell the story is really fascinating and something that worked really well for me. And there were a number of scenes with just amazing tension. And I think that at the heart of it, it's a Whiplash, Black Swan, obsessed artist story that fits into those categories. I have no problems with Civil War, but if you're not going to give me that movie, I would settle on Challengers with you.
Hey, Challengers is my one. We're going Challengers, but shout out Civil War, a movie that deserves the recognition you're giving it. And I feel like it's kind of like flown under the radar since it came out. And I think it's because people went in assuming it was going to be like a super politically heavy driven movie, and it isn't. And I hope that isn't why it's, I guess, kind of being disregarded as a great movie, because that's what it is. It is a truly great movie.
Yeah, it's a real shame. And that's what I see a lot of comments on that movie about, is not taking sides. And I think that the movie had to not take sides to be as successful as it did. But moving on, Challengers, go ahead, take it for best movie. Let's do the James Cameron MVP award. This is the MVP of Hollywood. It doesn't necessarily have to be an actor or a director. It can be even a studio we have nominated this year. going through the nominees, we have Glenn Powell, crazy breakout year for him. Timothy Chalamet. Kaylee Spaney, great year with Civil War and Alien Romulus. Zendaya and A24 as a whole. I think that there are really two people or two nominees that come to mind for me as the front runners here. What about you?
I got my three. I think it's the big three of Powell, Chalamet, and Zendaya. They all prove to me that they're more than what I expected this year. Chalamet kind of took a huge step as that guy that proves he can be an action star, but I just also saw the Bob Dylan movie and he is phenomenal as Bob Dylan. Glenn Powell kind of became the next TC this year, but the biggest surprise for me honestly was Zendaya, someone that I never understood the hype. I kind of started to figure it out in Dune Part 2. I thought she was good, nothing crazy, obviously an important role, but Challengers, her performance in that movie is one of the best, if not the best of the year. And I think she's my pick for MVP.
She's absolutely mine too. My second pick was also Glenn Powell. I think he's had a great year. Chalamet, I understand why he's up for this, but I think that there are better years in the future for him. I think this is like his comp right now is Ellie De La Cruz. Like, he's gonna be flashy and show you like, okay, this guy could steal like 120 bases in a year, but like next year he's an MVP caliber candidate. You know what I mean?
You didn't see a complete unknown. This is like Lamar Jackson's MVP season last year, where maybe the numbers would say that someone like a Zendaya or a Glenn Powell should win, but he is deserving of an MVP. And maybe to your point, will explode next season and have a true, clear and away, number one MVP season. Sorry, Josh Allen. Lamar Jackson is the MVP.
Yes, he is. I think we're on the same page there. Zendaya winner, though.
Zendaya winner.
And I'm excited. That's an interesting award for me. I know we gave it to Margot Robbie last year, mostly for her producing work on Barbie. And it's just something that I'm honestly surprised that like the wider film industry doesn't do something like who is the MVP here. It's always Marty Scorsese.
Should be Tom Cruise.
Honestly, I've got to go see about a girl best quote award. Di, do you want to read these out or should I?
Please read them.
Okay.
I cannot see them, Steve.
My bad. First quote. I'm guilty of looking ahead instead of right in front of me at you, This is Andrew Garfield from We Live in Time. May thy knife chip and shatter, Dune Part 2. There's only ever going to be one blade, Deadpool and Wolverine. What kind of American are you? Civil War. And I promise you, the last thing I wanted to do was find the one true religion, but unfortunately I did. Heretic. There are two pretty clear frontrunners for me here, and that is the quote from Heretic and We Live in Time.
Yeah, you're not giving the Deadpool Wolverine shout out. No Wesley Snipes.
It's a funny one, but I don't know if it belongs number one on the year.
So I think that if this was the coolest quote of the year, may thy knife chip and shatter, or what kind of American are you? Both of those were just insane mini quotes, but I don't know. I agree. It's kind of a coin flip between We Live in Time and Heretic. The Heretic one, that scene in general, I thought like spoke to me more, like I was more engaged. I think the quote from We Live in Time is more powerful.
I think I'm going to agree with you here. And obviously, Heretic won my blast movie of the year. It hasn't won anything else yet so far. But I think that out of context is something that all quotes like should kind of be compared to. And out of context, I think the We Live in Time quote is just a more widely applicable and just like generally well-worded and beautiful thing. So let's settle on that. But next, we have the Connell Goes to Therapy Best Scene Award. Starts off with the Harkonnen Arena fight in Dune Part 2, Match Point in Challengers, What Kind of American Are You in Civil War, The Conversation on the Couch from Heretic, and Zero Gravity and Alien Romulus. These are five amazing scenes. And it's nice to look at these when you think back at 2024 being a pretty shitty year for movies, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like there are a couple honorable mentions, too, that I thought were great. I think the opening of Long Legs, the opening Long Take and Smile 2, both of those come to mind. Honestly, another scene from Heretic, his breakdown of Monopoly, I thought was really well done as well. If I had to pick one, though, I feel like there's a clear and away winner. It's the scariest scene of the year. It's the best scene of the year. What kind of American are you from Civil War?
Yeah, we're on the same page. I rewatched Civil War a few days ago in prep for this pod and was reminded of just how terrifying that scene is. In the theater, I mean,
I couldn't watch it.
Yeah, it's hard to describe. If you weren't in the theater, how loud that first gunshot is and how shocking it was to everybody there. Like, I feel like my entire audience was just holding their breath for that entire scene.
It is legit some serious stuff. Jesse Plemons, just ultimate heat check. Can't believe he wasn't even supposed to be in the movie.
Honestly, yeah. All right, moving on to the Time Best Track Award. Ty, you have a couple on this that I can't understand, but let's start off with Kiss the Ring from Dune Part 2, Brutalizer 2 from Challengers, Hell on Earth from Long Legs, The Ice Rink Epiphany from We Live in Time, and The Outside Intro from Inside Out 2.
What's wrong with my picks?
I guess really there's only one pick that there's something wrong with, and that's Brutalizer 2. You added that shit to the Blast playlist, and I swear to God, every time it comes on, I'm just like, fuck. I was in a good mood, and then just this weird techno shit comes on. Brutalizer 2 in movie is one of the funniest like tracks of all time. I can't.
What are you talking about?
My whole theater was laughing out loud by the end of the fucking dubstep, techno kind of music that was going on through that last sequence. And I think it's meant to be a gag.
No, it's from the whole movie, dude. That track is in the whole movie.
I'm aware, and it's overplayed in the whole movie.
Man, it's a great gym song. It's a great gym song. But you know what? Scrap the Challengers one. The best song of the year is the Hans Zimmer song. Kiss the Ring is so beautiful. Say what you want about the movie. that song from the final scene is literally perfect. It's one of Hans's best.
Yeah, it's the winner. But I do want to give a shout out. Ice Rink Epiphany is one that I think is also going to be on my playlist for a long time.
The We Live in Time soundtrack, almost top to bottom, like, deserves to be in your playlist. It's really good.
It is. It is. All right. RDJ, Iron Man, Born to Play the Role Award. Our nominees are Timmy Chalamet as Bob Dylan, Robert Bobrovsky as the alien human hybrid in Alien Romulus, Anya Taylor-Joy as Furiosa. Jesus Christ. Two ATJs. My bad, guys. Mia Goth as Maxine. yes. And Hugh Grant as Mr. Reed in Heretic. I do want to give a shout out to Hugh Grant. He is awesome in Heretic. And I feel like that character just added a whole new side of him as an actor. But you knocked it out of the park with your Robbie Bobby nomination for the alien human hybrid.
Yeah, for the listeners that don't know who that is, you will if you look him up. He was like a sensation European basketball player when we were kids. He was like 7'3", 85 pounds. He looked like an alien human hybrid, and they cast him for it in Romulus. That freaky looking alien at the end of the movie. That's him. poor Rob. Sorry, dude.
It's sorry. Unreal.
Don't eat
unreal.
Me.
It should have been Zach Eady.
I would have hated Romulus.
Zach Eady, no makeup. Just him standing there. Yeah. All right. Brendan Fraser, Comeback of the Year Award. Nominees, Josh Hartnett from Trap. Chris Hemsworth, bouncing back from Thor 4 and into Furiosa. Kirsten Dunst in Civil War. Brian Woods, going from directing 65 to co-directing Heretic. And Channing Tatum for Blink Twice. I think we're probably going to be in agreeance here, but I do want to give a shout out. Channing Tatum is a name I feel like I haven't heard in like 10 years. And he killed it in Blink Twice. He was great.
Yeah, totally great. It's kind of a big year for him. Nothing like crazy off the radar. Blink Twice was his best, but pops up, he's the lead in Fly Me to the Moon and then pops up in Deadpool and Wolverine. Everyone loved him as Gambit. That was cool to see, but clearing away. I mean, if it's not Josh Hartnett here for Trap, I don't know what it would be.
It has to be. He's by far the best part of that movie, and I think he actually probably will get, I don't know, like 5 to 10 more years off this.
Josh Hartnett for Harvey Dent. Make it happen.
Hey, I agree. Pod of the year. Winner will get naming rights. We have our Harry Potter pod. The Messiah of Evil / The Thing movie swap. Jason Peterson's top 3 blast movies. Ghost Dog / Joyride movie swap. And The Rise of Skywalker rewrite. Before we choose a winner here, Ty, what was your favorite to film?
Without a doubt, Jason Peterson top 3 blast movies. We didn't really have to do much. Like, you and I just sat and listened to basically us, but 25, 30 years older, telling stories of waiting in line to go see Rocky and how it changed his life, waiting in line like an amusement park for Return of the Jedi and what Star Wars did for pop culture. Like, there were some really great stories in that podcast. And Jason Peterson, like, huge friend of the pod. I text him all the time about movies. He's the best. I think that was my favorite.
Good choice. And honestly, it's hard for me to choose a favorite. Mr. Bully is going to say something nice here. This is like legitimately probably the best part of my week. Every week is getting to talk movies with my good buddy here. And I think the most fun I had talking movies was thinking back to our Rise of Skywalker rewrite from COVID. A lot of laughs in there, as well as some interesting stuff to say about Star Wars as a whole. But I think we agree on our best pod of the year.
Our best pod is the Messiah of Evil, The Thing swap. I think, like, just from a technical standpoint, our flow, just the clip farming, all of it, I thought we were great.
I loved it. Even though you weren't as big of a Messiah of Evil fan as I was, that was kind of a perfect swap as far as vibes, and just a really fun one to talk about as well. But Clip of the Year is an entirely different conversation. Starting off our nominees, we have our take that the kid should have gotten her tongue cut out in the American version of Speak No Evil. We got some comments on that one saying it was a weird thing to get hung up on. But those of you who have seen the original, you understand.
All eight of you, you understand. Yeah.
What could save Star Wars? Glenn Powell is Batman. RDJ casting is the dagger that will kill the MCU. And lastly, and our winner, is Adam Driver, is the Justin Herbert of Hollywood. Ty, talk me through your thoughts.
I couldn't agree more. Not only was it top performing, you know, on TikTok, but I think it's just that started the NFL comps being integrated into Blast. And I mean, what a perfect storm for you and I. I mean, if we're not talking movies, we're talking football, we're talking fantasy. So the fact we got to intertwine the worlds, it's got to go to Herbert equals Driver.
Exactly. All right, we have two awards left, and then we're going to rattle off our top tens of the year before we let you guys go. Second to last award is the Ticket of the Year, another one where the winner will get naming rights.
Uh-oh.
Kicking off our nominees, we have Cozy Cinema's review of Deadpool and Wolverine. Absolutely awesome ticket. We have Timmy Poulton's review of Cars 3. Max Blunt's review of Elemental, comparing it to Kyle Pitts. My ticket of The Amazing Spider-Man 2, one of my favorite things I've ever written. And Zachary Jewell's tickets for Old. Ty, weirdly, I feel like we're going to agree here. But, I mean, walk me through your thought process a little bit.
Before I give away my winner, which is very obvious, and if we don't agree, I'm going to be pissed. But shout out, honorable mention, Timmy with Cars 3. It has been the most popular ticket for, I want to say, 4 months, 5 months. I mean, pretty close to app launch. It's the highest performing ticket on the app, and I don't see it slowing down. And all the review says is, ka-chow. It's got like 12 likes. So shout out Timmy. But the award has to go to the man that started it all. One of my favorite conversation pieces, Zachary Jewell. Please tell me that's who you were thinking.
Absolutely. Zach Jewell, please come on the pod. We need to have him on here.
That man must take off his mask or people will die. Please, Zachary, we would love for you to just speak in one word. If you're actually listening to this for some reason, Steve and I have considered a segment on this pod called What Would Zachary Jewell Say? And it's just one word reviews of each movie we talk about. You have changed things at Blast. So thank you.
I wonder if he even like knows anything about us or who we are. Like, do you think Zachary Jewell has been to the Blast website?
Yes. One word. He gave it a double B plus.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Old tickets specifically. Ty, you can take the lead here, man.
So when I was creating the nominees, I put Old down because I remember Zachary Jewell, the legend of Zachary Jewell. He would go on these like 35 ticket post gauntlets, and it would just be one word. You know, like something to do with the title. And it was like very common. He would give it a double F or a double D plus or something like that. But Old, one of M. Night Shyamalan's worst movies ever, in my opinion, of course. He gave it a double A. I couldn't believe it. I was like, what? What are you doing, Zach? So I go into his page, and it was the second time he had posted Old. And I just missed the first one. A month before he gave it a double A, he gave it a double D, so he watched it, hated it, and then rewatched it a month later and had a change of heart. I think I got to give the double A old ticket as my blast ticket of the year.
What made him come around on that movie is like one of the greatest mysteries in human history.
Zach, come on the pod. Let's talk old.
Oh, God. Finishing it out, the Hereditary sucks hot take of the year. We had some pretty hot takes on this pod. I feel like, Ty, you kind of played it safe this year, but we said Nosferatu is not a top five horror project of all time. In fact, we both thought Nosferatu was boring. Dune Part 2, not the best movie of the year. We actually both agreed on that. Maxine was great, but Y2K was better. Y2K, potentially a top five comedy of the last 5 years, even. Walking Out on Wicked, and Smile 2 is just a plain bad movie.
All right, before there you is... break down anything, I am not getting lumped into the bad take, the Wicked take, all right? All right? You telling me that I played it safe? Yeah, me not walking out of a movie is playing it safe? Fine. Fuck you. I'll be safe as can be, all right?
So, are we grading this on the most correct take or just purely the hottest?
It's the hottest, dude. It's like one of the most popular movies of the year and you couldn't even make it halfway through. It's got to be the winner.
Okay. And also, shout out, I don't know if I told you this. This was Lem's idea to put this award in.
Shout out, Lem. Hope yeah. you're doing well. Let's come on and talk 50 Shades, right?
Wow. Okay. I'm going to talk through my top 10 movies of the year instead of talking about 50 Shades of Grey. Kicking off at number 10, a movie I saw with Ty, Long Legs. This was a fun one. I am very excited for The Monkey from Osgood Perkins later this year. Number 9, I have Dune Part 2, despite Ty repeatedly telling me that I hate the movie. Number 8, I have Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. This was one that I actually did really enjoy more than I thought I would. Some interesting ideas, and I think they should lead to an even better fifth film. One of the few sequels that I really enjoyed this year. Number 7, I have Blink Twice, Zoe Kravitz's phenomenal directorial debut. Excited to see what's coming next from her. Number 6, Y2K. We've already talked about this, but one of the best comedies I've seen in the last 5 years. Number 5, We Live in Time. Heartbreaking romance, lackluster in just a couple of areas for me. Keep an eye out of the top 3. Maxine ranks up at number 4, an all-time great watch with Ty, especially considering the X watch that preceded it. And finally, to my top 3. Number 3, I have Twisters. This is very heavily influenced by getting to go see this at Hollywood Palms with my good friend Lem. Number 2, I have Civil War, which is, I think, objectively the best movie of the war, best movie of the year. And my number 1 is Heretic. As I've already said, this movie is super meaningful to me and one that I've been waiting for to come out for just years and years.
What's an honorable mention that you want to give flowers to?
Oh, 2024 was a bad year, man. I don't have many honorable mentions, honestly. If I had to choose one, it'd have to be Joker 2, Fully Ado, man. That was just a masterpiece.
Hey, man. I didn't mind Joker, Fully Ado. I didn't.
Really?
I thought it was fine.
Wow. Okay.
I didn't think it was as egregious as everyone was saying.
No, realistically, honorable mention for me probably has to be Challengers. It's right up there, just off the list for me. I think I cut this off around a B+ great movie grade, and I think Challenger set at a B for me, so very close there. And I also do think if I saw Monkey Man, it would have been on this list. Just didn't get around to it.
You will really like Monkey Man. I feel like I've told you that 5 times this year, but you will really like it.
I'm excited.
Definitely would have cracked the 10. Didn't crack mine. It was close. I'd say it was probably closer to like top 15, top 20 of the year. And the honorable mention that I want to give is not in that top 15 mark, but a movie I want to talk about. Transformers 1, I think, was probably the biggest surprise of the year for me. I think the marketing for this movie was terrible, but the actual movie itself, especially the third act, the final 20 minutes, maybe some of the best, like, 2024 movies of the year. I thought they did a really good job. I hope it gets a sequel, so I wanted to give it a shout out. Speed running the 10 here. At my 10 spot, a movie that I had an absolute blast with, Steve hated, I don't care. It's M. Night Shyamalan's Trap. At 9, Blink Twice. At number 8, Furiosa. At number 7, Heretic, your favorite movie of the year. 6, Y2K. 5, Long Legs. 4, Civil War. 3, Dune Part 2. I know it's low, according to everyone, but still a great movie. At number 2, a movie that we have not talked about at all today, and that is Hitman. Richard Linklater. I absolutely love this movie. I wish I saw it on the big screen. And then at number 1, just a movie that I really can't describe how great the theater experience was, but it really was that great, and that's Challengers. And that's my 10.
Hey, it's a good list. I have to say, a little pushback. You keep on saying I hate these movies. I gave Trap like a C+, B-.
What? Dude, like, all right, maybe it's just me remembering the pod itself, but I mean, you were like fuming at me for defending this movie. Like, fuming.
Yeah, because you were saying it was like amazing. I don't think it's an amazing movie at all, but number 10, I don't think is too ridiculous. Like,
oh, come on.
If you had a top 5, 10. I think you would have had, I think at post watch of that, like as we potted, you would have had that top 5.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it was.
Yeah, exactly. Mr. Recency bias.
Man, get out of here.
I don't know.
What was Maxine for you? 4?
Yeah, number 4.
I think that was maybe. Like, the Wicked take was like, that's the insane take. I think another hot take is that we both really liked Maxine. Like, everywhere I go, people say it's the weakest in the trilogy and not that good.
Hmm. I loved it. I had a great time. Great theater experience. Tons of laughs. Yep. Love the 80s settings. Ty West is just an awesome filmmaker in general, though. But this is going to conclude the Blast Awards. Thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate all your support throughout this past year. Seeing the growth and launch of Blast has just been pretty surreal for both of us. We just surpassed 3,000 users, and we're already up to just under 3,500 now. So things are growing fast. We're really excited for another great year in 2025. We've got another update coming soon, which hopefully you guys will enjoy and bring some more theater usage to the app experience. But thanks again for listening. We hope you continue to listen through 2025 and have a great rest of your week. We will catch you next time with Companion.